Now, I want you, before we do anything else, I want you to look at somebody this morning and say, fear not.
Fear not.
Fear not. I've got it in all caps. I've got 3 exclamation points. Because, and we're going to get into the details of this, and I'm going to share scripture with you, and we are going to dig into the Word of God. But I'm telling you, folks, fear not, because as followers of Jesus, we have so many reasons to not be afraid. We have so many reasons to not be scared of anything, much less a virus. Amen. We have many reasons, physical, and many reasons spiritual. And we're going to get into those today. And I want everyone here to know that if you are a follower of Jesus, it is okay for you to not be afraid. It is okay for you to fear not. And it is okay for you to boldly proclaim that Christians are to fear not. It's not just fear of Satan. It's fear of anything. We're to have no fear. We're going to talk about why we're to have no fear today. I had the great privilege of going to a little place that we all go weekly, sometimes multiple times a week, and we don't think twice about it. A place called Walmart. Now, legitimately, folks, legitimately at my house, we were out of toilet paper. We had one little tiny roll left. It was on the list, so I didn't go hoard a bunch of paper, okay? I had to go because we needed groceries. We were low on the food that we had in the house. We were low on things that we really had to have. So we had a week where we made a list just like every other week. My wife left the list. I had the money. I planned a day that I was going to go grocery shop. Now, it just so happened that my shopping fell right in the midst of the height, or at least so far, of this whole coronavirus panic. And I knew, in a way, what I was going to run into. I knew in my mind that it was going to be different, but I had no idea just how strange and different and weird it was going to be. So I'm going to share with you a little bit of my story, my trip to Walmart, so that we can drive home this idea of fear not. You ready? I showed up, and the very first thing I noticed at the place in Sheridan was at the time of day that I went, that parking lot was full. It was packed. I parked in the back, which I normally do anyway, but this day I had to park in the back. There was nothing else but the very back parking spaces open. The parking lot was packed. And then I got out of my car, and as I was walking up, immediately I saw people that had on what on their faces? They had surgical masks on their faces, people coming in and out of the store with surgical masks on. Now, I know that that's completely ridiculous because I actually study things and read things, and I know that the surgical mask doesn't protect you from contracting the coronavirus because it doesn't seal your face off. You breathe through the sides and it's airborne. But for some reason, people go on mass hysterical buying sprees of things like these, and they put them on thinking it's going to help. And it doesn't help. So I see that walking in. I go, oh boy, here we go. It's been a really, really get crazy in this store. So I walk into the store, and immediately you feel a tension in the air. You can feel the fear. You can feel the nerves. You can feel the way people look at you, and they're talking. And I'm listening to people as they talk, and that's all they're talking about is the virus, and they're talking about issues related to the virus. And every aisle you go down, everyone is looking at you strange, like, don't breathe on me, don't touch me, don't get anywhere near me. People are avoiding each other. It is crazy. Now, at first, I only noticed a couple of things. Like, I go down the peanut butter aisle. I eat a lot of peanut butter, Miss Paul. I usually get a big thing of peanut butter. All the big things of peanut butter, gone. All they have were the tiny things. So then I look like one of these idiots because I had to get 4 or 5 of them to get enough peanut butter for my house, these tiny little jars of peanut butter. And I keep going down the aisles, and it seems like all the things that I typically buy are gone. They didn't have green beans unless you bought the big can of green beans. So I had to, once again, looking like an idiot, bought these big cans of green beans because my wife told me to get green beans, but they weren't even the right green beans because all they had were French cut green beans. I don't mind those, but they don't work for her recipe. So I had to go to another store to get regular green beans. And as I went through, I just found these little things that I couldn't buy because they had been bought up. Things that I normally get and the sizes that I get or the brand that I get, gone. Mac and cheese, gone. Eggs, there were two little things left of eggs and only in a dozen. So I had to get like 4 or 5 dozen eggs because we normally get a big one. All gone. I remember as I was in the back of the store, the employees, the looks on their faces, they were so tired and they were so worn out and they were so frustrated with people. You could just tell they were done. And I remember as I was putting these eggs into my buggy, once again, looking like a moron, I'm getting all these dozens because I normally get a big box. And one of the ladies looked over at the other and said, "Do we have any more eggs?" And I just thought, how sad is that? How sad is it that in no natural disaster we've ever had have I ever walked into this store and there not been any eggs? Easter, the time where we use more eggs than any other time, there's always eggs. Today, no eggs. So I hear these employees talking about how, do we have any more eggs? Do we have this? Do we have that? And then, y'all, I needed the toilet paper. Now, I saw the pictures, and I'm not one to believe things I see on the internet, so I'm like, I'll believe it when I see it. Folks, I saw it. I got to the paper aisle, and it was clean. There wasn't a box or nothing. And they had signs up saying, if you want paper towels, we limit you to one roll of paper towels per customer. And they had 2 boxes half full of paper towels left in the whole store, the cheapest kind and the most expensive kind, and I could only get 1 roll of paper towels. And then I got up to the front desk, and I was talking to this lady, and she was so frustrated and wore out. And I said, "Man, I bet this has been crazy. I know you guys are busy." And she's like, "You just don't even know the half of it." She said, "There are people in this store that have been walking around telling people that FEMA was going to shut down Walmart, and they were going to put us in the FEMA camps, and they've been driving people to buy all this stuff." She said, "And it's not just one person, it's multiple people that do this. They walk around, and they're almost like spreading the gospel of doom." And she said, "That's why there's a run on all these things, because people are showing up to the store, and they're walking around telling people this stuff." And in that moment, I want you to imagine, and I told her this. I said, "You know, I feel like I have to apologize for buying 4 things of peanut butter, but you guys only had the small ones. And I feel bad that I had to buy 4 cartons of eggs, but you only had the dozen eggs. I'm not one of these people, I'm not." And she's like, "Everybody has to apologize because everybody's on edge. And even the normal people feel like they've got to apologize for buying normal groceries. It's a very strange phenomenon because everybody's scared, everybody's panicked, everybody's acting differently than they would normally act." And I remember leaving feeling relieved that I don't have to be at Walmart anymore, relieved that I don't have to go back for another week, week and a half. I might even try to stretch it out to a couple of weeks before I go back, and feeling sad. I felt sad that there were so many scared people. There were people that were so scared that buying cases of toilet paper made them feel safe. I want you to really think about that for a minute. It's hilarious. It's funny. I get it. But there were literally people going to that store, and what made them feel safe is to have toilet paper. When I tell you today to have no fear, I'm not going to say have no fear if you got enough toilet paper. I'm not going to say have no fear if you've got food storage. Have no fear if you got this or you've got that. I'm going to say have no fear if you've got Jesus. I'm going to say have no fear if you are connected to God the Father through Jesus, His Son. I'm going to say have no fear if you are covered in the blood of Jesus. Because, folks, there's no amount of toilet paper that's going to protect you if it's your time to go. There's no amount of extra food that's going to protect you if it's your time to go. There is nothing you can do in this world. You can save money. Guess what just crashed last week? The stock market. You can save money. It ain't going to help you. If something like that goes down, the only hope that we have is that there's something bigger and better than this world. This world is perishing. It's dying. It's broken. It's messed up. And the more you feed that fear, the more you're feeding into the hands of the enemy. The enemy wants you to believe that your only safety is in material things. Your only safety is in money. Your only safety is in isolation. And I'm not saying there aren't times to be isolated. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Don't think I'm one of those guys. I'm not. If you're sick, you stay home. But just because you stay home, just because you got toilet paper, just because you got money, doesn't make you safe. The only way that I know to encourage you and give you hope today is say, fear not, because we have a living Savior. Amen. So I'm going to share a few verses right up front here. And I'm going to share these fast. We're not going to preach real long on these first few. But I wanted to share these because they have some pretty direct messages that I think Christians need to hear at times like this. And my hope is that you will go home and you will reread these. My hope is that you will not stop at these. April and I were talking this morning on the way to church, and she was telling me how she heard a guy say there were enough verses in the Bible that talk about not fearing that there is one for every day of the year. And I believe it because in my research, I had to whittle this message down to these passages and these scriptures. There's so many. So I encourage you, when you go home, read these, but do your own work. Do your own homework and find all of the scriptures that encourage Christian people, followers of Jesus Christ, and even the Old Testament followers of God, to not fear. It's spoken over and over and over again. So I'm going to share the first one here with you. This is Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. I'll give you a chance to get there if you're following along in your Bibles. This is also in your notes, and it's going to be on the screen as well. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not. Look at the person next to you and say, fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. Somebody gets you scared about a virus, say to yourself, fear not, because God is with me. He says in this scripture, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will what, church? Help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Now listen, folks, if God says, fear not, for I am with you, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. If the God of all the universe that created all the material things that scare us says, fear not, for I am your God, then he is more powerful than any material or circumstantial thing in your life right now. He's more powerful than the coronavirus. He's more powerful than the stock market. He's more powerful than you being unemployed. He's more powerful than the problems you're having at home or in your marriage or in society. He's more powerful than politics. All this stuff has to submit to Almighty God. And I'll tell you, when we roll right off the rails is when we stop trusting him and we start trusting the news and we start trusting the media, and we start trusting neighbor Bob or Bill and some guy down at Walmart saying FEMA camps are fixing to start up and they're shutting Walmart down. Now, I'm not telling you that's never going to happen. But what I am telling you is it doesn't matter if that happens, because God's still going to be God. God's still going to be my help. He's still going to be my strength. He's still going to uphold me with his righteous hand. And even if I die in a FEMA camp, guess where I'm going? Straight on to be with the Lord. I'm not worried about it. So what I want you to know here today is that God says, not Pastor Shane, God says, fear not. And if he said it, he means it. Speak that truth into your life. Second thing I want to share with you is Psalm 56:3. We're going to go through these quick today. Psalm 56:3. It's short. It's a great memory verse. It's something you can take away right here, right now. It says, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. If you have been scared at any point during this season, if the whole panic has got you, you watched a little too much news, you've seen a few too things on Facebook than you should have, I mean, you got family that's freaked out, someone in your house is freaked out, maybe it has nothing at all to do with this virus, and there's just something in your life that's had you afraid, Look at what this scripture says and take it in context with the one I just shared with you. Fear not, for I am your God. Whenever I'm afraid, this is David's prayer. He's saying, when I get scared, I will trust in you. When you get scared, that's when you redouble your efforts to say, God, I trust you. God, I believe what you said. I believe in who you are. I believe in what you said you're going to do for me. I believe that you're a deliverer. I believe that you're a redeemer. I believe that you're all powerful. I believe you're a provider. I believe that you live in me. I believe that you've got my back. I trust in you. Fear not, for I am your God. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. So fear not and trust in him. So far, the message is pretty clear, isn't it? Let's take a look at 2 Timothy 1:7. I picked this out of a whole bunch. I probably looked at 30, maybe 40 different verses. And I really love this one because it spoke some real truth, okay? And we're going to need this today. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Bella, if you can bring that up if you've got it. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, I want to stop before I get into anything else and just say that's a pretty bold statement all by itself. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if the coronavirus has scared you, if the media has scared you, if the stock market tanking has scared you, if some guy at Walmart talking about FEMA camps has scared you, if losing somebody in your life has thought, that scares me. If anything is going on and you have been scared, listen very close. That is not the spirit of God. That is the spirit of the devil. That is the evil one. If you are scared, that's not a godly spirit. And you need to rebuke that spirit. You need to say in the name of Jesus, cast this fear out of me. I don't want to live scared. I don't want to live with anxiety. I don't want to live that way. Get this stress off of me, God. This is not of you. Listen, this message would have been good any time of the year. Amen? This is a good message no matter when, but especially right now. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if you've got a spirit of fear today, you can guarantee yourself that is not the spirit of God. Amen? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Boy, do I love that one. That one's just so good. Especially right now. Listen to it again. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Now let's step through this one step at a time, very quickly, once again. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, Billy. He gave us a spirit of power. Do you understand that spirit of power says that there is no disease, there is no circumstance, there's no situation, there's no person, there's no government, there's nothing that is above God Almighty. Nothing. And if the Holy Spirit of God lives in us, then guess what? We never have to fear any of that stuff because we have the power of who living in us. We have got the power to cast out demons. We've got the power to pray and see people healed. We have the power to encourage and spread hope. You have power today. If you've got that spirit of fear, that is not the spirit of God. You need to exchange that for the spirit of God. You need to repent. You need to say, God, fill me with your spirit. So instead of the fear, I can have power. So I can change the world. So I can go out and be confident that you can do a work through me. You don't have to react anymore. Then you can proact. You can get out and you can make a difference even in a season where everybody else is scared. Christians have power, and Christians also have love. Now, let me tell you something, folks. And Kathy brought this up this morning. It was a great point. Maybe it was Becky, I'm not sure, but one of you brought this up. If someone did get this virus and we knew that person and they had to quarantine, they had to go into their home and they had to be isolated, guess what, folks? We're not supposed to let them sit over and starve to death. We're not supposed to just go, ugh, you know, they got leprosy. What did Jesus do with the lepers? He went and he touched them and he healed them. He delivered them from that. Now, am I telling you to go over there and French kiss somebody if they get the coronavirus? No. But I'm telling you, we can't treat them like lepers. We can't treat them like they're in a leper colony. We're still going to have to do what? Love them. See, the Spirit of God is not a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of power. We speak the truth of God into a situation. It does not speak to us. And we speak love into every situation. Folks, as Christians, we should be prepared to embrace someone with the Ebola virus if God asks us to do it. You hear what I'm saying? That is the spirit of love, because what is our life compared to eternity, compared to being able to share the love of Jesus with one person or 10 people or who knows? And can you imagine the power in that kind of love? It's amazing. It's not a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you're losing your mind in a time like this, that's not the Spirit of God. We are supposed to have a sound mind. God gives us a sound mind. He gives us the ability to reason, to research, to read, to stay calm, to relax. Can I just say to you this morning, relax. Just relax. Just relax. I mean, my sound mind tells me this morning the odds are not a single one of you are ever going to get this virus. And those of you who might get it are going to get it and get better. Perhaps none of us will ever even meet a person that gets it. I mean, the odds of this happening, I know, are possible. But the sound mind tells us that there's more of a chance that it won't really affect you that much. It really won't. I hope that you have the Spirit of God, because it's spirit of power, spirit of love, and spirit of a sound mind. Be reasonable. Use your judgment. Trust God. Fear not. Amen? First three scriptures. You ready for the next one? Psalm 18, 1 through 2. The whole thing's good. I'm not going to preach through every single part of it. I didn't even underline any of it because it's all good. Okay? I will love you, O Lord, my strength. This is a prayer to the Lord. This is David speaking to God. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. Who's your strength, church? The Lord. The Lord is my rock. Who's your rock? And my fortress. Who's your fortress? And my deliverer. Who's your deliverer? My God, my strength, in whom I will what? Trust. My shield and my horn and my salvation, my stronghold. Listen, this whole passage is chock full of who God is to us. Now, if this is real to you, there is nothing in the world that's going to scare you. If the Lord is your strength, what's stronger than you? Nothing. If the Lord is your rock, meaning your foundation, what's going to move you? What's going to blow you away? Nothing. He's your rock. If he's your fortress, you're in the castle, you got the walls, you're defended. Who's your defense? Who's protecting you from the enemy? God, the Lord, Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, he's your strength, he's your rock, he's your fortress. And who's going to deliver you through the worst of the worst? Who offers you the only salvation that there even is offered in all of the world? God through Jesus Christ. Folks, this scripture alone is packed full of references to who God is to a believer. To a believer, God is all these things. And if God is all these things, and this is a real faith and a real relationship that you have with a real God, then there is nothing stronger. There is nothing can defeat that fortress. There's nothing that can blow you off that foundation. There is nothing you can't be delivered from, and there is nothing you can't be saved from. And even at the end of it all, if something takes your physical life, guess what? This world can never, ever, ever take away from you the Spirit of God, your salvation, and your eternity. Not one time is there any reference anywhere in Scripture that indicates that Satan or anything in this world can ever take you out of the hands of God. Amen? Not once. He is your ultimate protector. I say fear not. I say trust Him. Listen to me. It's not Pastor Shane. This is over and over repeated in the Word of God. You do not have to be scared today. I promise you that. Let's take a look at Isaiah 54:17. We're going to focus the very first of this. This is a song, too. Someone wrote a song a while back I really love. And for our worship team and our practices, I would like to find a song, the particular song that I like to sing. I love it, love it, love it. And the chorus goes, "No weapon formed will prosper." And I just absolutely love it. "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." Listen to this scripture. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of who? Do you serve the Lord this morning? All right. "And their righteousness is from me." So it's saying if you serve the Lord today, if you serve the Lord today, this is your heritage. And if you serve the Lord today, your righteousness comes through Him. Specifically, in Isaiah, they didn't understand this, but as New Testament Christians, we do. Our righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is your heritage, and your righteousness comes through Jesus. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." No weapon. Not some weapons, not an exception here or there. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Do you know the only thing that holds this verse back is your trust and faith and belief that it's true. If you don't believe that no weapon formed against you will prosper, then it's probably going to prosper because you don't have faith in who? Everything we do depends on faith. It depends on trust. It depends on us leaning into God as our Savior, our Deliverer, our Strength, our Rock, our Fortress. He is the one that protects us from all things and ultimately protects us from ourselves and our sin. This scripture says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." This is a truth that we should speak into our lives and the lives of our family all the time. Why we don't share this like we share John 3:16, I'll never know. Because the truth is, if we got John 3:16 down and we are following Jesus, then we better get this down too. Because He expects us to walk in His Spirit, not in the spirit of fear. And His Spirit says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." One more scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:54-55. Are you building an arsenal of scriptures to wage the war against fear this morning? I know you're turning in your Bible, so I'm not getting any response out of that. Are you building an arsenal of weapons against fear this morning? Do you feel like when you go home today, you are at least going to have a start if you want to speak life and hope and trust and faith and strength from the Lord back into your life through the Word of God? You are building right here an arsenal to fight back. When you get scared, when you get panicked, when you get worried, when that anxiety builds up, these are verses that should be on your lips. These are places that you should go in the Word. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:54-55. Before I say this, let me say I preach a lot of funerals. And you know, funerals are both sad. Sometimes they're almost all sad. But sometimes they're sad and they're celebratory, right? They're sad because we miss people. I miss my daddy. I miss my grandma. I miss my buddies that I had to bury. I mean, I understand loss. I understand being separated from someone that you love very much and you see and talk to on a daily basis. I get that. That's human. Jesus and him himself cried at the loss of people. But what we don't fully understand and appreciate, and I'm convinced of this after all the funerals that I've preached, we are not convinced of the celebration part. We're just not. We hear it. We accept it because the pastor said it. The Bible says it. We know we're kind of supposed to feel like it's a celebration, but nobody ever really does it, right? I always feel like when I preach that way and I share that way, that there's a hint of, I get it. I understand, Pastor, good job. You preached well. But there's always that, yeah, but I don't feel it. It's not real. The celebration's not real. Well, listen, even if it's not real to you, it's real to God. The scriptures are true. It's still a reality that heaven is going to last a lot longer than your life here on this earth. It's still a reality that eternity is longer than your 10, 20, 50, 80, 90, 100 years. It's still true that heaven's better. It's still true that being with Jesus is better. It's still true that if you're following Jesus and someone else is following Jesus and you both die in Christ, you're going to be together again. We say it. But do we really believe it? Is it really a celebration? Do we really look forward to it? You know, I hear a lot, well, I look forward to it, but I ain't ready to go yet. I'll tell you, well, I'm ready to go right now. If I had a heart attack and die, I know you'd cry, I know you'd be sad, it'd be, you know, disrupt service, it'd be a big deal. But I promise you this, I'm going to be happy with Jesus. You remember that. If you ever stare at my body in a coffin, ever, know it. Know that I am happy. Know that I'm with Jesus. And what I want to share with you today, through all this coronavirus, I mean, listen. Yeah, some people have died from it. Yeah, some more people will die from it. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? People die of heart disease. People die of car accidents. People die of the flu. People die of measles. People die of the Ebola. People die of food poisoning. People die of staph infections. People die sometimes because they're stupid. Right? I mean, it happens. It happens. People die. And this is what creates so much fear in a season like this. And I want to identify it. I want you to look at it with laser focus today and understand the only reason anybody's scared at all is because they're scared of dying. Or they're scared of someone they love dying, and that's it. Because there's nothing else to be scared of. If you're not scared of death, what can be thrown your way? Nothing else is worse than death. And listen to what this scripture says about death. I encourage you to read the whole chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. It speaks of the resurrection. It speaks of the truth of passing over from darkness to light. It's amazing. Go read it. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, speaking of our bodies now are corruptible. They're flesh. They're subject to corruptible things, whether it's through sin or the world, they're corruptible. But when our bodies now that are corruptible have put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on what, church? Immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in what?
Victory.
Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, hell, if in some of your translations that'll translate as hell, where is your victory? Death, how are you going to be victorious over a follower of Jesus Christ? Death, how are you going to be victorious over someone who won't die? My body might die, but my spirit won't die, and one day I'll have a resurrection body too. I have eternal life, so death, where is your sting? Hell, where is your sting? Hades, where is your sting? Where's your victory if I know that I've already been saved from hell? I know right now, as a follower of Jesus, as someone who has had the blood of Jesus applied to my sins, that death means nothing to me. It is merely a moment that's coming for everybody, and God has granted me freedom from. That's it. Why don't we think like that? This scripture's been in the Bible the whole time. But we don't think like this. Nobody I know shows up at a funeral and walks in and goes, "Oh, death, where is your victory? That ain't my husband. That ain't my wife. That's not my kid. That's not my grandma. That's not my buddy." You say it under your breath, like, "I know it's not them." Right? I mean, let's be honest. I know it's not them. Death has no victory. Hell has no victory. You and I are redeemed children of God. Fear not. Trust the Lord. Don't have that spirit of fear. Have the spirit of power. Have the spirit of love. Have the spirit of a sound mind. Trust that God is your rock, your fortress, your strength, your deliverer, your salvation. Look how easy they are to remember. It's a piece of cake. Folks, I worked on this message all week. I worked on it this morning. Billy, do you know I had a whole other message prepared for last week when I got sick? Notes and everything. This ain't it. I did this morning. And they're so easy to remember because they're central truths of the Christian faith. They should be something all of us know already. But so few of us walk in it and feel it in our soul. Look at the person next to you and say, "Fear not. Fear not." In this last verse, and this is the last passage I'm going to share with you today, and this is one I came across in my own personal study. I've shared it with Kathy this week. I've shared it with my family during our Bible study. But I want to share it with you today. This is the only one that I'll kind of teach. It still won't take very long, but I'm going to teach a little bit here. I started to read Ezra, and immediately I thought, well, this is a mistake. I was in Psalms for 150 chapters, and every psalm has got some amazing richness to offer, you know. So I would have this great prayer time with the Lord, and the psalms were just moving me, and I was sharing, and I had inspiration to preach. And I got into Ezra, and it's more storytelling. It's more of them coming out of slavery and starting to rebuild Jerusalem, and it's historical. And I thought, wow, this is not only harder to read, but there's not as many yellow verses. There's not as many highlightable verses. A lot of it's just context and genealogy so far. And I was getting into there into chapter 3, and I was like, wow, God, are you going to speak to me? Are you going to speak to me through this book? And boy, he spoke to me. He showed up, Billy, in chapter 3, I promise you. Chapter 3, verse 3, I got it highlighted. I've shared it with multiple people so far, and I'm going to share it with you this morning. And I didn't know I was preaching this today, and I didn't know about the coronavirus, and I had no idea we were going to do fear not, but listen to what this verse says. Though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set the altar on its bases, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord both in the morning and evening burnt offerings. Now, I have to teach a little bit here, but I want you to see the key word. What's the key word that God showed me at the very beginning of this week when I read this? Fear. Fear. Though fear had come upon them because of the people in other countries. Anybody want to take a stab? Not Kathy and not April, because I shared this with y'all already. Why were they scared? Anybody know off the top of your head? They had been in captivity in Babylon, okay? And they had been released by the king to go and rebuild Jerusalem. But Jerusalem had been destroyed. I mean, it had been utterly wiped out. The walls were destroyed. The temple was destroyed. Everything was destroyed. And the people around them remember the days when they used to be strong in the Lord. I mean, if you've ever read the Old Testament, you know there were seasons where Israel was very strong and very dominant, and they didn't get defeated by anybody because who was on their side? Because the Lord was on their side, right? So they're coming out of captivity because they had turned away from the Lord. They had been taken into slavery. They're being sent back to a city with no protection, no walls, no temple, no armies, no nothing. In fact, if you read on like into Nehemiah, you'll find when they start to rebuild the walls, they would tell them to have, you know, their tool in one hand and a weapon in the other hand, because what they need to be prepared for. If you're working on a hole in the wall and someone invades, where are they going to come? To the hole. They're not going to go to the places that are fixed and where the wall is. They're going to go to the hole. So the workers were encouraged to be ready to fight and build the wall at the same time. So these people were scared. This verse in Ezra says, though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, these folks wanted them dead. They did not want them to rebuild their walls. You read further into Ezra, you'll find out. These people were scared they were going to rebuild the city, that they were going to rebuild the temple, and that they were going to become powerful again and exert their authority and the authority of the Lord. So they did not want this to happen, and they knew it. They knew these countries were going to try to kill them. They were going to try to stop them. And they were scared. They were scared of the enemy from the outside getting in and hurting them. Are you following me so far? In chapter 3, you would think if they were thinking in a worldly way, they would need to start working on what first? The wall. The wall is what protects them from the people on the outside, right? Get your walls built, get your gates built, get your army built up, get your stuff fortified, get your fortress ready, right? That's what Jerusalem and those older cities were. They were fortresses. So common sense and worldly thinking would say, build your wall, build your army, get your gates put up, and staff them so that if somebody attacks, you can defend yourself. But do you want to know what they did first? They didn't work on the walls. They didn't build their army. They didn't build their gates. They didn't set up defenses. It said, though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set the altar on its basis. What did they use the altar for in the Old Testament? Burnt offerings. That's how they worshiped, Billy. We come in here and we sing and we pray and we serve and we listen and learn and we grow and we're obedient. That's how we worship. They worshiped by burning sacrifices on the altar to God. That was their form of worship. So these people who were scared of the enemy, instead of trying to protect themselves, what did they do first? They said, we are going to make sure God is worshiped in this place first. Why do you think they did that? Because he's the real protection. A wall can only protect you for so long. Jerusalem was destroyed before. Remember? Those walls were torn down. Someone can always build a bigger and badder army. Someone can always build equipment to knock down your gates. You can only protect yourself for so long. And the history of the Israelites was not that they were amazing warriors. David was not an amazing warrior who slew Goliath. Do you know why David slew Goliath? Because he trusted God. He knew that David would not succeed. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Not because he was a great warrior, but because he served a great God. In Ezra, these people were scared. But they said, we are going to set the altar on its basis, and we are going to offer sacrifice and worship to God before we do anything else, because we know we can't protect ourselves from these people. We can't protect ourselves from these enemies. We're not strong enough. There's not enough of us. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough skills. The only thing that can protect us is God. And I'm telling you here today, folks, the only thing that can protect us from everything is God through Jesus Christ, his Son. And if I'm going to offer you one piece of advice today, other than fear not, if you want something practical, something you can do, something you can leave this place with and say, I'm going to start doing more of this. I'm going to say, build his altar. Who's the temple of God today? We're the temple of God. And Paul says, I will offer myself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. And that is my spiritual act of worship. If you want real protection, you want to relax, you want to kick back, you want to be filled with the Spirit, and you want to have that kind of power and that kind of love and that kind of sound mind and you want to trust God, folks, you got to elevate God. You got to worship God. He has got to be built up in the altar of your heart. You got to set it on its basis. If you're going to do anything, you need to pray, but not some old tired, sorry, memorized prayer. Talk to Him. Get to know Him. Enjoy the conversation. Spend time listening. Read His Word, but don't read it because it's time to read the Bible today. Read it because you want to hear from God. Serve. If you've been called to serve, even if you don't know what you're supposed to do, find something to do for the Lord. That is an act of worship. Encourage somebody. Speak hope. Speak life. Share the gospel. Gather together. Don't forsake it. Community and fellowship is central to the church, and it's important to the body of Christ. If you want to know how to build that altar up, the only way to offer worship now is for you to offer it to God. Yourself, you. And this church can't make you worship God. We can practice for 6 months and be the best singers you've ever heard, and we can't make you worship when we sing. We can't make you come in here and want to serve and want to pray and want to hear from God. Even right now with 20 people and pastor's already been preaching too long, I can't make you want the Word of God. I can't make you enjoy this. I can't make you crave it or desire it. That is between you and the Lord. So I'm saying fear not. I'm saying trust Him. I'm saying let go of that spirit of fear. It's not His. And I'm saying embrace your relationship with God today. Put Him in His place. Elevate Him in the temple. And give Him the worship that He deserves, because He and He alone will protect you. Amen? Amen. Jamie, I'm going to ask you to come up this morning and share our last song. Please take this home and read these scriptures and study them and pray about them. And thank God for taking care of you. And let's continue to pray. Folks, don't forget, let's pray for the people that don't understand this. I mean, you guys are amening and like, yeah, that's what we needed to hear, Pastor. There's 20 people here today. And I guarantee you there's a lot of people, even on a good Sunday, that wouldn't have been here. Remember those who are scared and panicky and upset and their stomachs in knots. Lift them up. Pray that God would give us or someone else an opportunity to speak this kind of life into them. Amen. Amen.